Hallelujah.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Are we online?
Yes.
All right. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to For Zion's Sake Ministries and Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is Rebbetzin Don, and we have Diane here with us doing praise and worship. We're going to get started. I'm sorry we're running late. We got an emergency phone call, and so we apologize, but we're here we go.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Presence, we thank you for. I thank you for breath, and we just pray, Lord, that you have your way in this service and in our lives, and guide us this day. Be our light, carry us when we can't walk ourselves. Carry us to our destination, Lord, and help us. We pray for our nation this week, Father. We just pray for peace and. In this country, this coming week, whatever the outcome is, Lord, we pray for peace, for shalom in the United States, and pray your will be done, that your candidate will win, and that your will be done. And we thank you. Now bless this service, and lead us, guide us, and anoint our ears to hear. In Yeshua's name, bind the enemy. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bless the Messiah, Yeshua, this morning. He is our life, and he is our blessing, so let's bless him back. Hallelujah. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher naten lanu et derech Yeshua b'Mashiach, Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Tabernacles, Israel.
Prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Vishamru. Vishamru
v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. B'nei o b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, odi le'olam. B'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, en ha-shabbat, la'sor en ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, eshamayim ve'haaretz. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasol et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sol et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem.
Let's pray, bow our heads and our hearts and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Avinu Shabbos Shemayim, we, Father in heaven, we thank you for Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. And anyone who's ever been there, when your plane lands, you feel like you're home. It is truly our home. Here, now, it's and for eternity. Lord, it's the dwelling place of the Messiah. And we thank you that it's where you're coming back. And we look forward to that day. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, we just bless Israel. We pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray, Lord, for the peace and of Israel and Jerusalem. And we pray, Lord, that you remove the scales from their eyes. We pray, Lord, that you remove, we say to the mountain that stands in the way of us making Aliyah, that you would remove that mountain, Lord, that you would change things and make us welcome, and change the laws and make Messianic Jews and even in Christians who love Israel welcome to come and live in the land, Lord. And we just pray for that day when we're free to come and reclaim our birthright, Lord, that was stolen from us. We ask, Lord. Lord, we pray for the Messianic community here in the United States. I pray for the leaders of the MJAA, the execs, and so forth. I pray for their vision. I pray for that you would give them prophetic vision to lead our movement and to guide us. I pray, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna, if there be any, and give them all the spirit of Eliakim, the spirit of Eliakim, the scribe who became the prime minister. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the rabbis out there today, Lord, ministering for their health. I pray for their healing. I pray for their needs. I pray that you meet their financial needs and whatever they're going through, Lord. You know their situations. I pray for Marty and Jenny Goetz for healing from COVID-19, Lord. Pray for the Goetzes that they would have an easy case and that they would recover fully. And in the name of Yeshua, Lord, we pray also that you would protect the other congregations from this disease, Lord, and us as well. And I pray the rabbis would be bold with their messages and not be fear man, Lord, but that they would speak the word with power today. I pray that you remove the scales from our people's eyes, our those who don't know you in the diaspora and here in the United States, that you would remove the scales from their eyes. Let them see their Messiah as I have and so many others like me, Lord, have seen the Messiah, have met the Messiah, know the Messiah. Thank you, Abba. Do that, we ask. In the name of Yeshua, save our people, Lord, and amen, and thank you. Thank you for this service. Now bless us.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Manabu ale hari ragale ambase. Show me, yeah. Stand for the Shema.
Headset, please. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Givon, Malchuto, Leolam Yahafta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shivtecha v'veitecha v'v'lechtecha v'aderech v'v'shachbecha v'kumecha Ukishartam, Leot al Yadecha, Bahayula Totafot Bene Necha, Ukhatav Tam, Almazazope Techa, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay. I'm going to ask Anthony and Bar Mitzvah boy, Joshua, and William to prepare yourselves to come and carry the Torah, please. Thank you, Lord.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Hine ma tovu manayim shevetahim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim.
a chance to kiss the Torah?
Vayehi ben Soharon vayemer Moshe Kuna Adonai v'yefutzu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah udavar Adonai mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'kedushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch Adonai Hamvora.
Baruch Adonai Hamvrak Lam Va'el.
Baruch Adonai Hamvrak Lam Va'el.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bakar Banu Mikol Harami. Ve'na'aten Lano Et Torto. Baruch Adonai Notei Matorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank you all. Okay, we've got a repeat this morning. Last week, Joshua did the Torah portion, and he did a great job. I was really thrilled about that. He did a great job. Actually, he surprised me. He talked more than I think I've ever heard him at one time, but he did a great job. He's just a quiet guy, you know. Okay, that's okay. Okay, so I got to repeat it here for him today. Today's Lek Lecha, and it's Genesis 12 through 17. It means to get out or go out. And maybe, Don, we can get a copy of Joshua's speech. I think that would be neat for everybody to keep that sort of a memory of that. Great. That was really great. It was really good. And so today we're talking about the name. You know, everybody's got a name. Some of us have more than one name or whatever, you know, different ways, nicknames. But you know, in God's word, in the Torah, when God puts a name on someone, it's not by accident. It's because God is doing something with that person, to that person, to assist them. So names tells us about who it's about. Or your name tells a lot about who you are and what you're about. So today God is telling us, he's basically telling Abraham to go to yourself. He's calling Abraham. You know, Abraham was born in idolatry, and so he was seeking the true God, the one who made everything. He just couldn't agree to the fact that everything in the world that he saw was made by all these different gods. So he was seeking the one true God. And so God is telling him to go to yourself, or to go. And you know, go, the word go me is connected to the Torah. It means that we have an ultimate purpose in life, to go to our ultimate purpose. And that is within our souls to seek the very essence, the very presence of God. But what was Abraham's mission? Did he have a mission in life from God? His mission was to spread the name of God to all the people, because people back then did not, they thought all the things, the birds, the flowers, the animals were all gods themselves. So they had many gods, they had many names. But God is wanting Abraham, or Abram as he was called, to spread God's name. So God calls him. He says, go to a place that I will show you. And of course, that was the land of Israel. And he gives him some instructions to do. He says, take your wife and take your possessions and go where I will show you, to a place. There is a place that God has that is special to God. And of course, that's the Temple Mount. That's the land of Israel and the Temple Mount. And he says, go, and I will make you a great nation. But Abraham did not follow God's instructions totally, because God told him to take Sarah and his possessions and to go, but he took his nephew, he took Lot with him to go with him to the land of Israel. And God didn't want anybody to go with him. He wanted him to go with just him and his wife Sarah. And so while they were there, God is telling him about he's going to make a great nation. But Abraham has some doubts, and so he goes to Egypt because there's a great famine in the land of Israel, and he travels down to Egypt, and it's there. It represents a spiritual descent. He is descending from God. He's going to Egypt, and there he encounters, of course, if you read this Torah portion, he encounters the Pharaoh and his household, and he ends up getting another wife as he leaves. Pharaoh says, I have something I want you to take with you as a gift. And he takes Hagar with him. That sort of makes a different direction of Abraham's life. And if you've read the scriptures, you know that Hagar was the mother of Ishmael later on, years later. So it's about 13 years within the Torah here that we see that God changes Avram's name. He puts a hay in his letter, and he becomes Abraham, and Sarah becomes Sarah. And she is called a princess. Her name means princess, and Abraham's name means father, and he's the father of multitudes. So this is a sort of a long Torah portion, but I'm not going to cover all of it. We're going to just go on through here rather quickly to get through it this morning. But Abraham, with God's promises, he builds three altars to God. And the first altar is a promise, is the altar of substance. It's a relationship to God of faithfulness of him and his family and the substance that God has given to Abraham. The second altar he made was of repentance. When we sin and we are restored through repentance. And when you repent, it deepens your relationship with the Heavenly Father. You have a deeper relationship because you have sinned and you have repented, and the Heavenly Father has given you peace and mercy in his relationship. The third altar that he built was an altar that glorifies God. It says we will obtain a full level of consciousness in God. We will not attain that full level of consciousness in God until Yeshua is restored in his kingdom, and the reign of the Messiah will function in the world today. And it's coming very, as today comes along, we're one day closer, but you can see the sign of the times that God's word is coming more true every day. If you read it, you'll see that the sign of the times that the stars tell us in the sign of the moon and all these things are telling us that God is about ready to fulfill his promise to return the Messiah to the world and to take his people home. God has made a lot of covenants with people, with various men. If you look at the scriptures, I just covered a couple of them this morning just to sort of close on the Torah. And we see Adam, in the Garden of Eden, God made the Shabbat for us to rest in. In a way, that to me is a covenant too. It's a covenant that's a weekly opportunity to come and worship God and his time. Then Noah came along and we had a great flood, and God did a covenant there with Noah as they came out. God created the kishut, which is the rainbow that appears from time to time. It's a reminder. If you say the Hebrew prayer it's in the scriptures, it tells you that God is a covenant keeping God. That's what the rainbow's about. It's about the beautiful colors, but it's about God and the fact that he honors and he is a God that keeps his covenant. He keeps his promises. And then we see Abraham. He had the thing of the circumcision. And then we see that, circumcision means the cutting, and that also is a portrayal of the sacrifice that we see. It was the cutting of animals and the shedding of their blood for the remissions of sin. That was a covenant that your sins would be forgiven with the cutting of the flesh. And then Moses, the Ten Commandments, God gave those to Moses. And then David, King David, God promised that his son would build the temple And of course, Solomon built the temple of God. And then Yeshua, there's a covenant there with Yeshua that God is redeeming through Yeshua. He's redeeming his people back to himself. And Yeshua is the mediator of people. So we have a lot of covenants. But I think the most important thing to remember today as we study God's word is that he keeps his covenants at all times. Shabbat Shalom. That's the Torah for today. Thank you. Torah, Asher, Sam Moshe, Lifnei, B'nai, Israel, Al Bi'adonai,
B'yad Moshe. This is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
We're going to have to fix it.
Is Diane here? What's that? Go ahead and set up the Facebook on Rabbi's page. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to return to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Just going to have a few announcements and we will continue our worship. Rabbi is preparing for his message. I think we might. Do you want to? Okay. All right, so just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's great to have everybody here with us. We got Maria. Where's Wendell? Is he? He's coming or? Oh. Now his shoulder. Oh, so we need to pray for Wendell. We had a great showing last week, and I want to thank everyone who helped out. And it was just an awesome time. We want to welcome our visitors here. Please introduce yourselves. Clark, nice to meet you. It's very. Do you live close by or Mountain City? Oh, well, yeah, we have, yes, amen. Well, it's great to have you this morning, and, hello. She's a good cook, and, she's a good party thrower, too. She helped me get everything all organized next door for our party. And so, as I said, I want to thank everyone for helping out and making last Saturday such a special day. We've got a lot of pictures coming back, and I'll be sure to share some of those with you. And so, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. God is good. So I also want to thank everyone who helped out with the newsletter. It went out last week in the midst of getting the preparations ready for the bar mitzvah. So it was a packed week. And today we're all just going, right? But hallelujah, it's great when God does makes a memorable occasion. And he really did. There were many people watching online, many of Joe's family, and I heard from them. We talked personally, and they just had nothing but wonderful things to say, not only about Joshua and his presentation of the word and the Hebrew portion, but also just the music and the service. So from start to finish, they enjoyed it. So it's a testimony, amen? And we need to pray that the hearts are open and that they see that Messiah is full of life, that he's full of joy, and that there's power in believing in him and bringing him into your life. There's a power that you don't have without him. And praise the Lord. He can change your life for the better. Hallelujah. Amen. And really, that's about all the announcements. We've got Hanukkah coming up. I don't have anything on the calendar planned yet. Let's just take a look here. Hanukkah starts December 10th. So we'll probably have some special services, maybe the 11th, something like that. So just mark that week from the 11th to the 19th. That's Hanukkah. Just pencil it in and know that we will have some special things going on during that time. Okay? So be sure to tune in or come and stay tuned. We'll send out the constant contact. If you are not on our list and you haven't been getting any emails, please contact us or go in there and update your email. Maybe there's something wrong with your email. Sometimes when it gets kicked out, I can't go in and change anything. So, or Vicky, who's downstairs, who's taking care of it, can't. So please make sure that your emails are up to date, and keep us stay tuned for the next events, because we always send out announcements. Okay. Yeah. So rabbis wants to let everyone know that as of this weekend, probably even before that, but really it's becoming very apparent that Facebook is censoring us. They're getting more and more restrictive of what you can say and what you can post and what you can advertise. And please pray that God will preserve our Facebook page. And if you can't, if for some reason things go sideways there, it's imperative that you give us your email or sign up for the email Constant Contact, because we can stay in touch with you via Constant Contact. So please go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, the email, sign your email in there so that we can continue to get information to you and let you know what's going on. Is anything else about that, Joe? And go to the website. Right. We don't send out tons of emails, do we? It's reasonable, isn't it? All right. So, I mean, we're not going to be sending you some spam every day. It's going to be when there's a service or there's an event, we will let you know about it, and then you can share it with your friends if you want to. There's a place where you can forward it to other emails. That's all the announcements I have. Thank you all for watching who's online. There's many who are basically part of our congregation online, and we love you guys and appreciate everyone who takes part in our service and in this ministry. And I will, Rabbi, are you ready? Okay, just pray for, let's pray for Rabbi. He's having a difficult day here. And as you, many of you heard, he had a phone conversation with the doctor, but the medication he's on is killing the cancer, but it's got side effects that are much more serious than the medication he's been on before, and he's really having difficulty breathing. So his blood pressure was up this morning. We need to pray for him. We need this medication to work, but we also need
a rabbi.
we need the side effects to be bearable and not be dangerous to him and his heart. So
I'm worried about damage to
him. Okay, so let's just stop and pray for Rabbi right now. Anthony, would you bring the oil and let's just pray for him? Would you bring the oil? And I think it's up here on the altar. And,
the drug's working. It's killing the cancer. And it's my counts are going up, but it's affecting, it's giving me shortness of breath, among other some other things. But I called the doctor this morning at the in one of the big hospitals that I deal with, and a national hospital. And he said he read the notes of the previous doctor, my regular doctor, and he said if you should stop the drug, it could damage your lungs. So they want me to stop it. I just took it this morning, and they want me to stop taking it till Tuesday. So, you know, I'm just do what he says. So, okay.
Too close there. Heavenly Father, we just prayed this morning for Rabbi Joseph, Lord. You know, today's Torah portion was about the name. And Rabbi Joseph has a name. His name is Joseph, Lord. And we just pray this morning a prayer over Joseph today, Lord, that your healing bond will come down from heaven and touch his body today, Lord. Touch this medication, Lord, today, that it will bring results, Lord. And we know that you heal us through medical medicine and through surgeries, Lord. And we just pray today, Lord, that your healing touch will flow over Joe today. And bless Rabbi today, Lord. Bless Dom. Bless the children, Lord, because this is a struggle to see him suffer each day, Lord. Somewhere in this, Lord, you're in all of this struggle, this pain and affliction, Lord. And someday, Lord, you will reveal to us what was the purpose of this struggle, Lord, today, that it's not just instant. Of course, we like to have it done right now, Lord, but you have a mission and a purpose for Rabbi today and for Rebbitz and Don, Lord. And may your purpose go forth today, Lord, and your healing touch will touch him from the head of his head to the very top of his toe, tip of his toes, Lord, today, Lord. We just release your power and your strength upon him,
yes,
right,
Lord.
Now, Lord,
thank you, Father,
that you will heal and touch him and make him whole, Lord,
yes,
that he can minister and he can do the things that you have called him to do, Lord, mm-hmm. Because you haven't given him a mission, Lord, that he's going to fail, but it's a mission that he will succeed and be successful, and this mission will bring glory and honor to your name today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Is Diane going to sing with us? Okay. Oh, okay. What song are we doing? Okay. All right, friends, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings for today. I'm going to pray. Folks online, if you'd like to participate, and if you are part of this ministry and you watch us online and you consider us family and you enjoy the teachings, if you'd like to give and contribute and support, you can do so securely online. There's a donate button. And for others here, there's a box in the back of the room. And we don't pass a plate, but there's a box in the back, a tzedakah box. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, and we come as cheerful givers, Lord. I love to give. When you bless me with an increase, Lord, I can't wait to get to the synagogue to bring my tithe. I can't wait to bring my offering, Lord. And it's the first thing I do as soon as I can. As soon as you give me an increase, Lord, and as soon as you bless me, I bring that increase. I bring the tithe to the synagogue on Shabbat, Lord, and I'm excited with joy because I know your word says that you'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain, that you'll rebuke the devourer on our behalves, and that you'll fill our barns, Lord, with there'll be food to eat in our barns. So we just give you the praise and the glory for your promises, Lord, for the tithe and that you and the offerings that you say in Malachi 3:8. So we just bless these tithes today. Bless the people 100-fold, Lord, as they give. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Have shown mercy to me. will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up.
Hallelujah, worship him.
I call to you, Lord, for help, and you heal me.
I
will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night, for you have shown mercy to me. By morning, now you have turned into dancing. You remove my shroud, and now I'm clothed with joy at my heart.
Shown mercy to us. Amen. Let's bless the God of Israel.
Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Of Israel. Who alone does wonderful things? Who alone does wonderful things? Who alone does wonderful things? Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Blessed be His glorious name. Blessed be His
wonderful things. God of Israel.
Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord is the one who lifts our head. He's a shield. And even when we feel like we're in a desert, He causes the streams to run full with water and the blooms to spring forth around it. Hallelujah.
I am the God that healeth thee. One more song.
I am the God.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer.
I sent your word.
Healed your disease.
I am the Lord, your healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer.
I sent my word.
I am the Lord, your
healer.
You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word. Healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word. To him. Do you need healing today? Do you need healing in your physical body? Do you need healing in your mind? Do you need healing in your heart? Lord God of Israel, He is the God who is able to heal you, and He will. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. You are the God. Lord, your healer.
watching you. He is near to you. He cares for you. His word is there. His healing is near. He's the God who restores you. He's your healer. He's your healer. He's your just take his yoke. Yeshua said, take my yoke, for I am gentle. I'm not harsh, I'm not loud, I'm not overbearing, but I am humble and gentle. And in me you will find rest. What yoke have you been putting on yourself? If you look to me and put my yoke upon you, the load will be light.
His love. let them break your heart. For the Lord, let them break your heart.
Somebody set up the Facebook or okay. Praise the Lord. Tell me, don't start. You didn't start it yet, did you? Okay, wait till I finish for a sec. Yes, William? What's that? We have communion? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I didn't have it up here. I'm so used to doing the little cups that we did. Oh, we got those too. Okay, well, I'll bless. Do it any way you want me to do it. Just go you want me to do. What am I supposed to do? Huh? Okay. All right. If somebody wants to bring it to me, that'd be great. We're going to go to the Lord's table. If anybody's watching at home, if you want to join us, if you have some fruit of the vine, some grape juice, some manischewitz, Mogen David, whatever you use, feel free to get some. Don, if you could turn a little air on in here, if you get a chance. I don't think it's on downstairs. AC, a little air. Yeah, I'm going to switch it. Yeah, a little bit, but she's got to switch it downstairs first. So, all right. So, folks at home, if you we have these COVID-19 safe communion cups. They're safe. There is safety in COVID-19 communion cups. Somebody figured out a business. Hallelujah. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of redemption, and he blessed it. And he said, This cup, Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen, Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. And then he took the bread. And by the way, he said of that cup, he said, this cup is the new covenant and my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And then he took the afikomen of Passover, that little piece of matzah that we all take together after the meal with the cup of redemption. And he blessed it. Baruch Atarunah Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. And he said, this bread is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Amen. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we take the cup. He forever changed the meaning of Passover for us. And he made it probably the most significant holiday of all of them, even though traditional Jews consider Yom Kippur to be the holiest day of the year. Those who believe in the Messiah, Passover has become, you know, attended by millions and millions of people around the world. Passover is so huge. You know, Seder's people, 400, 500 people coming to a Seder, 300 people, 1,000 people, 200 people, you know, huge Seders. I've done sometimes 20, 30 Seders in a season. In just two or three weeks, I've done 20 or 30 Seders with two to 500 people a night. And, I mean, it's just amazing how many people, when they get the revelation of this, of what the Passover means, his atoning death for us, Yeshua, Jesus, on the cross, he died for us. The Bible says that he is the Son of God. He came to die for our sins. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead. And if you believe that, he says, whoever believes in him and whoever confesses him as Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
Do you? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment, and I'm going to offer people, anyone who doesn't believe, if you'd like to meet the Messiah, this is a good opportunity. Just raise your hand with all eyes closed and all heads bowed. And if you're at home and you're watching and you'd like to meet the Messiah, I know a guy, a friend of mine, and he's a soldier. He was a Marine, and he was a major, and he's very, you know, he's like he's still in the Marines, you know, and he's so Marine-ish that I sometimes wonder if he's born again. So I asked him yesterday. I said, I don't name his name, but I just said, hey, you know, are you born again? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, the Bible says, unless a man be born again, I know you've read the Bible, and I know you're of a Christian faith, you know, but unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said, Yeshua, you know. He said that. So I said, are you born again? He's been my friend for 15 years. And I really, you know, I had to ask. I wasn't sure if he's dancing on the edge, you know. A lot of people dance on the edge. They play the part, they talk the talk, but they don't really walk the walk. And it's hard to tell sometimes. Some people are so close, but they're not quite there. They don't really know him. And he was a little taken aback that I asked him that. But I said, look, man, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't ask you. Amen? If I didn't really care where you're going, for you're going to spend eternity, I wouldn't ask. So take this as a, I love you, man. Not a, come on, man. Come on, man. But a, I love you, man. I think Joe needs to do a few more I love you mans and a few less come on mans. Amen? Can I get an amen there? Huh? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So if you're at home and or if you're here, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Just raise your hand if you want to meet the Messiah today. If you've been walking the fence and talking the talk but not walking the walk, and you'd like to meet the Messiah, just raise your hand, or if you want to rededicate your life and pray with me this prayer, okay? Dear God, I have made mistakes. I have trespassed. I have broken your laws. I have not followed your ways. I have disobeyed you and rebelled against you. I have not read your word. I don't even know all your commandments. I have totally failed. I wouldn't even know your commandments if they hit me in the face sometimes. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I confess I have sinned against you. I have trespassed. I've messed up. I need your forgiveness, Yeshua. So wash me with your blood. Wash me with the water of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Come into my heart. And put my name in your book of life forever. In Yeshua's name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, and either for the first time or you've rededicated your life, praise the Lord. Just contact me, and I have a gift for you. For those who already know the Messiah, let's all stand up and we'll take this together. Has everybody served? Okay. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. That's a good vintage. That's a holy vintage. Amen, Xavier? Xavier, what's your favorite vintage? A holy vintage. That's your favorite vintage. I'll tell you what your favorite vintage is. I already know what it is. Okay. Are you ready, Josh? Okay, let's welcome Facebook friends. What's the name of the message there? Blessed are the peacemakers. What? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's all it says? Okay. Does it say November 20th? 2020? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, Shabbat Shalom! Shabbat Shalom in the home!
Yeah.
Hello, Facebook friends. This is Rabbi Joe. My mother called me Joseph, and that's only when I was a bad boy. When I was a good boy, she called me Joey. And when I was just okay, she called me Joe. She had three names for me. My father, he had other names. When he loved me, when he was affectionate, he called me Yussel. He called me Yussela. And when he was mad at me, he didn't say anything. All right, today's message is blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We need some peacemakers in this country. We've got a presidential election coming next week. And I have spoken on it on this channel, Facebook. I have spoken on it many times, but now sometimes my messages are Now, I've advertised tens of thousands of dollars through the years on Facebook. Now, sometimes in 2 minutes, they censor, they cut off my messages without even hearing them. Today, my message is, blessed are the peacemakers. Is that a bad thing? Is it a bad thing to make peace? Not a bad thing. You know, there's going to be an election next week. There's two candidates running for office, amen? And I got news for you. Donald Trump might win.
Amen.
Yes. Donald Trump might win.
Yes.
But if he does, we got to love our neighbors. If Donald Trump wins, we got to love our friends who had the Biden signs in front of their houses. We got to love those people and not have ministries of truth to change people's thinking that they want to start. They want to, you know, bring us to California and put us in New York City in empty apartments and, you know, burn cities. If Trump wins, these are things people say. They're going to burn. The cities are going to burn if Trump wins. I don't believe in that. I don't want to burn cities. I don't want to punish Biden supporters. I don't want to send them to the gulag and help them with their thinking, you know? It's not my job to change people's thinking. You know, I'm not the Iranian torturer or the Soviet torturer, you know. I'm not Vlad the Impaler. Hallelujah. So, you know, you people out there who are angry, chill out. But there's a possibility, you know, that there's two candidates. There's a possibility that Mr. Biden's going to win. Come on, man. And there's another possibility that Mr. Trump's going to win. Hallelujah! I think I know who's going to win. But I'm not going to talk politics today. I'm going to talk the Word of God, because it says in Matthew 5, in verse 15, in verse 9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me or because of Trump. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Expect persecution. If you are a follower of the Messiah, you can expect persecution. You can expect to be overwhelmed. You can expect what Gideon saw, you know, or what Jehoshaphat saw. And it says in 2 Chronicles 20:15, it says, and he said, listen. I think it was a prophet came to Jehoshaphat and said to him, listen, all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's.
Amen.
Do not fear this great multitude who oppose your views, who oppose you, who want to change your thinking, who want to re-educate you, help you, tax you. Help you educate your children and all these good things. Stop fracking. Do not fear these multitudes or be dismayed as of this great multitude, because the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. We war not against flesh and blood. We war against powers and principalities of darkness. We do not war against man. We do not war against people. Although that does not mean that wars are not, men are not, and people are not sent off to war. Does not mean you won't be handed a rifle sometime in your life, young men, young women, or learn to fly a jet plane or a helicopter and go off to war like some of our loved ones did and fought in Vietnam, as my father fought in the Second World War. And some people's ancestors, my wife's ancestors, fought in the Civil War. That's the worst kind of war, the Civil War. When Americans fight against Americans. And I really, really hope we don't see that next week. I really, really hope we don't see that in the next few weeks or the next few months. I really, really, really hope that it doesn't come to that. Because I know people who can shoot the eye out of a squirrel at 800 yards. And there's a whole lot of them who live within 100 miles of here. I would venture to say there's a whole lot of men and women even who can shoot the eyes out of a squirrel at 1,000 yards within 1,000 miles of here. They're all over the place. There are probably over 500 million guns in this country. And I have not heard those people stand up and say, we're going to re-educate you. I have not heard those people threaten people with their guns, that they're going to put bullets in the heads of the opposition. I've not heard any of that. I've only heard one side tell me, we're going to re-educate you. We're going to help you think right. We're going to burn the cities. Oh, you won't hear it in the news unless you watch a certain station or two. It's not on the news. Unless you watch certain stations, you won't see it. You won't see that Philadelphia was looted the other night. You won't see that somebody was shot in Philadelphia and the police were called to stand back. You won't see that stores were looted by the dozens in Philadelphia. Reporters were beaten in Philadelphia and no police came to save them. It'll be a miracle if the election goes off without violence, without attacks, without ballots being stolen or intimidation. It'll be a miracle. But brothers and sisters, like Gideon, hear me now. Turn to Judges 6. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. We've already been in the hands of Midian for 7 years. We were in the hands of Midian for 8 years. We were already in their hands. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel because of Midian. The sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against the Israelites and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come in like locusts by number. Both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into the land to devastate it. So Israel was brought very low. And they, as I said in the very beginning, they went up and lived in the caves. They lived in the dens, in the mountains. They went underground. That's what they did. I don't know how some of them, they must have starved. I don't know how they survived, because the Midianites and the Amalekites took their food. They took their crops, they took their livestock, and they came like locusts. They came in, they were innumerable, it says in verse 5, like locusts, and they came into the land of Israel to devastate it. Verse 6, so Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, It was I who brought you up from Egypt, and I who brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. And the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. So he was hiding. He was beating the wheat out in the wine press so that the Midianites wouldn't see him doing it. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And Gideon looked around and said, "Who, me? Is there somebody else? There's nobody else here." That's the kind of guy Gideon was. "O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about?" You know, at Passover, I used to say the same thing. How come all these miracles happened to our ancestors 3,000 years ago, but they didn't happen to us? Where are all the parting of the Red Sea and the cloud by day and the fire by night and the plagues? And, you know, when's God going to rise up for Israel like he did in the days of Moses? This is before I knew the Lord, you know. I used to ask the same question Gideon asked. Where are the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." I think that's the heart of a Jew. I think many Jews, and some would disagree with me, but many would agree, that God has abandoned us. They don't believe in God. Many traditional Jews, not messianic ones. And the Lord looked at him and said to Gideon, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return," the Lord said. Verse 19, then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah flour. He put the meat in the basket and broth in a pot, brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. See, God, even in famine, even in war, God provided food. Is it too cold for you out there? Okay. Even famine and war, God provided food for his people. King David said he'd never seen the righteous begging bread. Never! Even under ministries of truth. Hallelujah. The angel of God said to him, verse 20, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. The angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Because anyone who had seen the face of the Lord, the Bible says in the Old Testament, would die. Death was the penalty for anyone who saw the face of God. And Samson's mother saw, and father, they saw the face of the Lord, and they said the same thing. They said, "Woe unto us, for we have seen the face of God, and we're still here." So if God wanted to reveal himself to you, he did. Amen. The Bible says he spoke to Moses face to face. His friend, Moses. Hallelujah. So Gideon questioned the Lord, "How can I live and see your face?" Then Gideon built an altar, verse 24, there to the Lord, and named it, "The Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom." Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Gideon said, "The Lord is peace." Adonai Shalom. Adonai, he is Adonai who Shalom. The Lord, he is Shalom. I don't know how he'd say it. But anyway, he said it. Okay. And praise God. Lord is peace. To this day is still an Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now on the same night, the Lord said to him, "Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull, and offer burnt offering with wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. Then they said to one another, "You see what's going on here? Israel had turned away from God and was worshiping idols. Gideon had an encounter with God, and what does he do? The first thing, he starts destroying the idols to pagan gods and tearing them down. When we have encounters with the living God, and when we come to know God, we begin to tear down the high places in our lives and even in the world. I have torn down high places in Hawaii. I've torn down high places in other, you know, I've seen shrines and altars to pagan gods. I've torn them down. Because the Bible says to do that. I won't tell you any more detail than that. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn, verse 28, torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down. The second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. They said to one another, "Who did this thing?" And when they searched about and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing." Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he's a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar." Therefore, on that day, he named him Jerubbaal, that is to say, "Let Baal contend against him," because he had torn down his altar. So Gideon was renamed Jerubbaal. Let Baal contend against him. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece, it is dry, and the ground is dry, I'll know that you will deliver Israel." Well, God did it. God put dew on the fleece. Gideon wrung it out, and there was like a cup of water, but the ground was dry. And then the next night, Gideon questioned God again and said, if it's really you, God, let the ground be wet and let the fleece be dry. So the next day he came back and the ground was wet and the fleece was dry. So then Gideon believed God, and then he took the men who came to fight with him, and they went to Harod. They camped beside the spring of Harod, and the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in chapter 7 in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me. Now therefore come proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are still too many, bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you, but everyone whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, you shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, I'm getting feedback up here. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. I'm getting feedback. Not Gideon. Just up in my monitor. Okay, Gideon's monitor's fine. The Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hands. So let all the other people go, each man to his home. So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets. I'm ringing that fleece. And their hands. And Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, and he retained the 300 men. Now, I'm moving along through this story because I'm not reading the whole thing, but I just wanted to just tell you, and we're getting to the main part. That night it came about, in verse 9, the Lord said to Gideon, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands with 300 men. But if you are afraid to go down to the Midianite camp, go with Purah your servant down to the camp. You will hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Purah his servant to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand of the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend, and he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling down into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent, and it struck it so that it fell and turned upside down so that the tent lay flat. His friend replied, this could be nothing less than the sword of Gideon and the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. I'm getting out of here. When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. Now, what is this thing with a loaf of barley bread? Well, first of all, I used to own a bagel shop. And I know firsthand that bagels roll. So I think that Gideon took a barley bagel, or that God took a barley bagel, and rolled it down a hill. And it hit the tent, and the tent collapsed and flipped over. And the Midianites took that as a sign somehow that God was going to destroy them. And Gideon was strengthened and given the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and the victory because of a barley bagel rolling down the hill. So we did a commercial for the bagel shop where me and this guy, Dave, dressed up as Roman soldiers because the only thing that the costume shop had was Roman soldier outfits. So we dressed up as Roman soldiers and we had this guy in the shop that worked for me, Matthew. And Matthew, he was dreaming in the shop. He was daydreaming at a table. He was the bagel maker. And he was dreaming, or baker, and he was dreaming that he was Gideon. So I was one of the Midianites, and this guy Dave, and we're dressed up and as Roman soldiers. And I said, I had a dream. A bagel rolled into the camp and knocked down the tent. And he said, this could be none other than the sword of Gideon. And I said, God has given the victory into their hands. And he says, I'm getting out of here. And he takes off one way and I take off the other way. And then all of a sudden the bagel oven goes off and the buzzer goes, and Susan, the manager, says, Matthew, the bagels are ready. And he wakes up from his dream where he thinks he's Gideon. It's a funny commercial. It might actually be on YouTube. They may not have censored it. Look up Man of Bagel commercials and you'll see that Gideon commercial. Anyway, that's just a funny little note. Okay, so... and then it says, Man of Bengal Company, taste the dream. Praise the Lord. So God gave the Midianites, and they didn't even have to, Gideon never had to use a sword. Okay? When Gideon heard the account of the dream, verse 15, and its interpretation, he bowed down in worship and he returned to the camp of Israel. He divided the 300 men into the three companies and he put trumpets, verse 16, and emptied pitchers into the hands of all the men with torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you and also blow the trumpet all around the camp and say for the Lord and for Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, which they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing and cried, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each stood in his place around the camp. All the army ran crying out as they fled when they blew 300 trumpets. Did you notice something? Not one sword of the Israelites was used. Not one Midianite was killed by Gideon or his men. It says the men of Israel were summoned. When he blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword. The Midianites killed each other. Even throughout the whole army, verse 22, the army fled as far as Beth Shittah, towards Zererah, as far as the edge of Abel Meholah by Tabath. The men of Israel were summoned from Naphtali and Asher and all Manasseh, and they pursued Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down against Midian and take the waters before them. As far as Beth Barah and the Jordan, so all the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they took the waters as far as Beth Barah and Jordan, and they captured the two leaders of the Midians, Oreb and Zeb, and they killed Oreb and Zeb at the rock of Oreb, and they killed Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. Well, they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon from across the Jordan, and of course, Gideon goes on to become the leader of Israel, the judge of Israel, and a great deliverer of his people. Amen. And the story goes on. And until the next time Israel falls into idolatry and God has to deliver it. But the point of the moral of the story is the battle belongs to the Lord. Yeah. Amen. The battle is the Lord's. God is fighting the battle. So God's person is going to... God's man. It's going to be a man. We know that much, right? God's man is going to win next week. Amen? Amen. And though the multitudes be like locusts against God's people, though the multitudes be so camped so far farther than the eye can see, though their camels be more numerous than all the tanks of China and Russia together and NATO. The battle is the Lord's. And God's people cannot be defeated. No matter what. And going back to Judges 6, and after God spoke to Gideon, in verse 24, Gideon built an altar there and the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Gideon was a peacemaker. He didn't have to raise a sword. He just had to obey the Lord. We don't have to raise a sword against those who believe differently than we do. We don't have to raise a sword. We don't have to censor. We don't have to fear. They're so afraid, they won't come out of their houses to vote. It's true. They're so afraid. We've got them so scared of COVID, they won't come outside to vote. They're not voting. And so now they're sending people out to all over the country trying to get people, hey, God, go vote. No way, man. I don't want to catch that COVID stuff. Oh, well, did you get your mail-in ballot? Oh, no, I forgot to get that. Well, what are you going to do on Tuesday? Nothing. Watch and see what the Lord does for His people. They've used COVID like a weapon. They weaponized it to fear, to lock down. Whereas God's people are out there going to school, going out shopping, going out to eat, going to rallies at airports. By the tens of thousands. Hallelujah. And the other folks are sitting at home in their basements eating pizza and milkshakes. That's the food of choice for this election. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
They're so afraid, they're not even going out to vote. They're running scared because it's not working the way they thought it would work. Now, I did a newsletter which is available. 4 years ago, I predicted the current president, Mr. Trump. 4 years ago, I predicted he would win, not based on my politics, based on Daniel 8. And I wrote this newsletter, which is sitting on the corner of that stairway right there, and you can take a copy if you like. And the originals, there may be some out there. I don't know if we have any originals out there, but if not, they're online. You can go online and read the original copies of it that I did 4 years ago. But this is 4 years later, and we just did this last week. We put it out, and it says, the last president of the United States 4 years later. Daniel 8 tells us that there's going to be an end time, and I say end time because Gabriel appears twice in Daniel 8 and says there's going to be an end time battle with Iran, in which a country from the West is going to destroy the two horns of the Iranian, the Persian ram. And then a horn in prophecy represents a military. What is a horn in an animal, a beast? A horn is used to kill, to attack, or to defend. Amen? So the horn represents a king, a leader, represents a military, and it represents a government. When a horn is broken, that nation has fallen. Their military, their ruler, and their government has fallen. If you read Daniel 8, you'll see there's an end time, very end of time. He says it twice, the angel Gabriel. This has not happened yet, folks. The great war against Iran has not happened. But you can see it building. Iran is developing nuclear weapons. And there's only one man. And it says that a man will come from the West. It says from Greece. But Greece is a metaphor. Doesn't it say in Romans 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, meaning the Gentile. Amen? So the Greek is a metaphor for the Gentile. Because the Greek was the Gentile nation that was
language was the language of the earth. Its currency was the currency of the world in those days. Amen? Whose picture was on the Roman coin? Caesar, right? The Greeks, the Romans, they were the great power in their day, and the Romans, who were the descendants of the Greeks, took over England, and London was Londinium, was named by the Romans. Why do you think Braveheart and the battle against the Celts and the Scots? Why do you think they fought with the Irish and the Welsh, the English? Because the English weren't English. They were Roman. They weren't Celts. And that's why the wars took place, because they were different peoples. Now, the English got invaded by the Vikings and the Danes. They got invaded by the Normans and the Iberians came up. The Spanish came up to Ireland. A lot of people invaded England. But the bottom line is, all the wars for Scotland for the last 1,000 years, all the wars fought between England and Scotland were because of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire controlled England, and the English were actually descended from the Romans. And who settled this country? The English. It was the English who settled this country. It was the English who arrived at the shores of Jamestown in 1607. It was the English who arrived at the shores of Plymouth Plantation sometime in November 17, or I don't know if it was November, but 1620. It was the English who settled this country first after the Spanish. But Spanish came to the south and the west. The English came to the northeast and the mid-Atlantic, and then they defeated the Spanish and the French. The English were the descendants of the Romans, and the Romans were the descendants, the heirs of the Greeks. And so, my friends, it is only fitting that a red-headed David will rise up to deliver his people once again over these next 4 years. And this red-headed David has been saying frequently of late, I've heard him say, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. 10 years ago, I fasted and prayed. And I was praying and fasting before I got cancer. And God spoke to my heart and said, Joe, America's finest hour is still to come. America's finest hour is still to come. And when I hear this red-headed David say, maybe 2 nights ago, the best is yet to come, I'm hearing that voice of God in my head say, America's finest hour is still to come. And we have not seen the best of God for America yet, but we will. We will see it with our eyes. We will see it. We will hear it with our ears. We will taste it with our mouths. We will touch it with our hands. We will smell it with our noses. Amen. And we will know that the God of Israel is the God who determines, who raises up kings and brings them down. Daniel chapter 2. And that no amount of hordes of demons, no amount of locusts, no amount of camels and enemies, tents, can change or give the victory. No amount of censorship, no amount of advertising dollars and campaign dollars can do it. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. And God's man will win. But we must be peacemakers, friends. I'm closing. Again, we war not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12 and 2 Chronicles 20:15. The battle is not yours, but the Lord, your God's. So we need to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Because with God, we'll gain the victory. Amen? With God, we'll gain the victory. And we will proceed to victory. And we must be peacemakers, and we must love our neighbors. I saw a girl with a mask the other day. It said, love your neighbor. And I know what the mask meant. Maybe she was a Christian, maybe she wasn't, but I think she probably was. But I know by loving your neighbor, she was saying, wear a mask. She was saying, wear a mask so you don't spread. I'm not wearing one because I'm preaching, but she was saying, wear a mask so that you don't spread or help spread or limit the spread of COVID-19. Love your neighbor. Even though you don't have it, don't share what you have, whatever you have or may have, with your neighbor. Love them. Wear a mask. That's why I not only wear one because I'm immunocompromised and I'm fighting cancer when I'm, you know, and most guys, if they had what I'm fighting, they wouldn't even be standing here. I've been having trouble breathing. Got called by a national cancer center before service. They told me to stop taking my medicine because it could be damaging my lungs. And I'm up here preaching. And you know what? My life is in God's hands. They want to stop my medication today. It's working. It's killing the cancer. And they're telling me to stop it. And I had to go on with service. I couldn't stop. I couldn't just walk out the door and say, heck with this. I had to go finish this service. Because my God spoke to me one day when I got out of bed. He said, as long as you have breath, praise the Lord. Amen. I've been short of breath for 10 days since they put me on this drug. But I have breath to praise the Lord. Glory! Woo! And as long as I have breath, and as long as I can stand, and as long as I can come here, I'm going to come here. As long as you show up, and even if you don't show up, I'm going to come here and do this.
Amen.
Amen? Because God told me to do it. And He didn't tell me there had to be 20,000 people out there. He just told me to come and do it like Gideon. It's not about numbers. It's not about the crowds. God provides. I spoke to one rabbi a while back. He said to me, he said, I haven't taken a paycheck since February or March. This is a big rabbi. I was like, really? I haven't missed a week. I haven't always taken a full paycheck, but I haven't missed a paycheck. Praise God. Well, look around you. Look around. How's He doing it? I must be doing something right.
Yes, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying, I must be doing something right because He's taking care of my family. He's providing for us. Go out and love your neighbors, friends, whoever wins. I think you know. I think most of you have your idea who's going to win. I think most people's minds are made up who they're going to vote for or stay home because they're afraid to vote. Who they're not going to vote for. I think most people have their idea about that. And just know that, like Gideon of old, no amount of locusts, Midianites, Amalekites, camels, swords, money, campaign money, censorship. I wrote Mr. Z last night. I sent him a letter or two on when they wouldn't advertise my message. You know what they wouldn't advertise? They wouldn't advertise that I was preaching a prophetic word today. That's what they wouldn't advertise. Picture me, and it said, service at 11. Here's my website. Watch the live stream. Watch it on Facebook. That's all. Nothing else. They rejected that. They are so afraid. They are so afraid of you. They are so terrified of you that they are... go trick-or-treating at their houses and don't wear a mask. No, just kidding. You'll scare them more than any costume. Go as a COVID patient. Put COVID-19 on your shirt and put like little things, little like, what are that, broccoli things coming out of the COVID, you know? Like a little broccoli and go to somebody's house, dress up like a COVID ball without a mask and go to their houses. Hi, trick or treat. They'll run in fear. They'll scream. Ah! I'm just kidding. Love your neighbor. Blessed are the peacemakers. Make peace with them. Be the best you can. You know, my mother, I'm going to tell you one last story, and this is it. My mother had different views than I do, politically, religiously, spiritually, everything. And she used to torment me. My mother, bless her of blessed memory, she used to torment me. She'd tell me, why don't you become a real rabbi? She'd tell me, why don't you quit what you're doing and get a real job? Why don't you become a real rabbi? She'd say terrible things to me. She'd say that the guy I voted for was Hitler. You know, or things like that. I don't know if she said Hitler. But. So one day I'm in the bagel shop years ago when we owned a bagel shop. I was in the restaurant and a customer comes in. I sensed she was probably Jewish. And she was probably in her 50s, and I was in my late 30s. And she said she was real nasty. She was talking about George Bush. This is around 2005. He was talking about George Bush. She said, George Bush is Hitler. He's a Nazi. And I'm talking to her and the guy she was with, and I said, Lord, how do I respond? She's my customer. How do I respond to this? This is foul. Calling the president of the United States Hitler? Where are the concentration camps? Where are the mass graves? That he's, you know, you calling him Hitler? Don't use that lightly, I'm thinking. But it's my customer too. So what do I do? God says, treat her like she's your mother. He says, treat her like she's your mother. So how would I treat my mother? I'd be, okay, Ma, whatever you say, you know. You know, all right, Ma. You know, okay, lady. If that's the way you think, if you think he's Hitler, good luck to you. Enjoy your bagel and soup. Have a nice day. Amen? If people disagree with you, be a peacemaker. You know? My neighborhood is filled with people that vote for the guy that I'm not voting for. And they've got their signs out. So some kids came into the neighborhood and stole all their signs and their flags. Okay? And they stopped my son Josh. One of the gals stopped my son Josh and took him aside and asked him if he knew anything about it. Well, don't you think for a minute that I didn't think she was accusing him. She said, we've got it on tape, on video. Do you know anything about it? He's 15 years old. So I marched over to her house, her and her partner. I marched over to the two ladies' house, and I said, can I ask you a favor? I said, I heard that your signs were stolen, and I heard that your flags were torn down, and I heard that you have it on video. I just want to ask you one thing. My son's a minor. He's 15 years old, and I appreciate if you got a question about anything like that, you come to me. Don't go to my child. Please. I don't know if you were threatening my child or you were just asking if he knew anything, but you come to me, please. I appreciate if you don't approach my minor age child. And then I proceeded to tell her that my sister's a lesbian and lives with a woman. And that, you know, whatever you think of us, you're nothing new to us. Your lifestyle is not new to me. I've had to deal with a sister who's been doing it for 26 years. I've come to love I love my sister. I just don't like what she does. She loves me. She doesn't like what I do. But we're friends. We talk on the phone. She cares about me. She gets reports on my cancer treatment. I went through breast cancer with her. I love my sister. I want to see her saved. Just don't agree with what she does. You can do that. We're always afraid of what we don't know. We're always afraid of the unknown. Amen? White people are afraid to go into black neighborhoods. Black people are afraid to go into white neighborhoods. When I grew up, I used to have to go into the black projects and Boston and Puerto Rican and black and deliver furniture. And I never had a problem. I used to sell rice and beans in the inner city, go into the toughest Hispanic neighborhoods, Latino, several of the store owners that I used to sell rice and beans for Goya Foods have been shot and killed in the 35 years since I was a salesman for Goya. Three of my store owners have been murdered, cold blood, shot on the street, robbed at point blank range. And I would go in to these little grocery stores, drive up in my suit and my overcoat and take a paper bag of $2,500 that they would pay me for their groceries that they bought. I'd look outside the door, look both ways, and run into my Ford Bronco 2. This is before they had Explorers. I'd get into my car and I'd run to the bank. I'd put the money in the bank, then I'd go to my next account. I was living, and I went to high school with the owner of the New England, I grew up with the owner of the New England Patriots. I went to synagogue with the New England Patriots owners. I went to synagogue with Sheldon Adelson. I went to synagogue with the chairman of Reebok and Barney Frank, the banking queen. You don't know that. If you want a fun one, Google, go to YouTube and look up the banking queen. If you like ABBA, it's hilarious. If it's still on there. Barney Frank singing the Dancing Queen. We're afraid of what we don't know, friends. It's just normal. It's normal to be that way. Jews and Christians, Jews are afraid to go into Arab neighborhoods. Arabs may not go feel uncomfortable about going into Jewish neighborhoods. People are afraid of what they don't know. Be a peacemaker, wherever you do. You know, God made me so versatile, hanging out with the most elite of the elite, to hanging out with the poorest of the poor, white, black. I've been to the white projects too, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying projects are just for ethnic people or black people. Projects are for all people. I know plenty of poor people who are white. Be a peacemaker. Help your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Minister to the people around you in your sphere of influence. Let me leave you with this thought. Minister to the people around you in your sphere of influence. You may not have a TV ministry. I used to have a TV ministry that reached 10 million homes until I got cancer. You may not have a ministry like that. You may not have a ministry like some people on TV, like Jonathan Kahn or Jonathan Burness or Sid Roth or Joyce Meyer, whoever. You may not have a big, huge ministry, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, something like that. But that's okay. You may have a widow's mite ministry. But minister. Preach the gospel. Feed the hungry. Clothe. Put your coat, give your coat to someone who needs a coat if you have an extra. Amen? Now, I always tell this to people who don't. I know a lady. She took all her wealth. She got divorced. She had a lot of money. She gave it all away. So now she's living, for many years, she lived in Section 8 housing and suffered terribly because I don't think God told her to give all her wealth away and make herself poor. But she thought, just because God said to one rich guy in the Bible, give everything away and get to the poor and come follow me, she gave it all away. Just because God told that one guy didn't mean he's telling you. You do what God said this to Peter. You follow me. If I want him to stay until I come back, what's it to you? You follow me. Don't take every word in the Bible as being for you. If I always tell people, if you can't feed yourself, how are you going to feed somebody else? If you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to convince somebody to follow your Jesus? Amen? If you don't have two nickels to rub together, how are you going to convince somebody that your God is real? Amen? Amen. So do what you can with what you have. Do the best you can. Love your neighbor. Be a peacemaker. And if they don't win next week, love on them. Tell them you're sorry. Tell them, comfort them. Amen? Go out and comfort them. And be a peacemaker. And don't make fun of them. Don't make fun of their candidate. Don't harass them and bully them. And I was just kidding about the Halloween costume. Oh, that was kind of funny, though. The COVID-19 ball. Boo! Praise God for a laugh. Please stand up. I want to bless you. Because I'm a peacemaker. And don't plan on going out and fighting. But be ready, because they may come fight you. They say they're going to. I don't think there's going to be anything around here, but some places are going to be bad. It's going to be ugly. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace. And may the Lord make you a peacemaker in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, and soon coming King. Amen and amen. We have the victory. Whether our candidate wins or not, we have the victory in Messiah Yeshua. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, friends on Facebook. Shabbat shalom, friends online. Thank you for supporting our ministry. We love you. God bless.